So we started discussing last week about the issues, preliminary issues of Lifnei Iver, and what goes into that Isser and what does not, what falls under this category. We discussed that there are really, just a quick recap, there are three explanations in the Pasuk of Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Michshol. The first explanation that the Chinuch and the Rambam both write in the Isser of Lifnei Iver is to give someone an Eitzara She'eno Hagenos Lo. For example, the Chinuch gives an example of a person who encourages his friend to go and buy and sell his piece of land, let's say, and buy some sort of animal instead of the piece of land. So I happen to be in real estate, and I know that that's not a good idea. I always know that it's more worth having land than having animals. And yet I go to this person, this individual, and I tell him, I suggest to him that he should sell his piece of land for this animal. Obviously, it's an idea that is not good for him. And the only reason I'm telling it to him is because I want to buy that piece of land right after he sells it. So that's what the Chinuch writes. That's number one. That's the simple explanation of the Pasuk of Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Michshol, that we don't want you to give Eitza She'eino Hagenos Lo, to give a person some sort of advice in any area of his life which is not going to be beneficial to him. Second Isser is to be Machshol your friend in any type of Avera, which the Menchas Chinuch writes, it could be even for an Avera Midrabanan, you also would be over. Why? Because a person really should not be doing an Avera De'oraisa or an Avera Midrabanan. Both of them are not allowed. Yet, I go ahead and I entice someone, I encourage someone to be over some sort of Isser, whether it's De'oraisa or De'rabanan, that seems to be a transgression of the Isser Midrabanan of Lifnei Iver, even if it's only on an Isser Midrabanan. And the Isser number three that the Chinuch writes about is the Isser to the actual simple understanding, what I would have said in the Pasuk, which means to tell the person to actually put a michshol in front of the person's feet. Let's say you have a blind man who's walking down the street, and I put some sort of stumbling block in front of him. That is the simple explanation of the Pasuk. So those three things are what the Chinuch and the Rambam both all state about the Isser of Lifnei Iver. Now, the Chinuch writes that a person who is over on the Isser of Lifnei Iver would not get Malkus. The question is, why not? So the Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis, which is the Isser of Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol, says the Chinuch, the reason a person would not get Malkus is because it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa, which the Menchas Chinuch has a serious problem with. What do you mean it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa? I can violate this Isser of Lifnei Iver by doing a Maisa. For example, he says, if I give a Kos Yayin L'Nazir, I walk up to the Nazir who's not allowed to drink wine, I give him a cup of wine. That's Lifnei Iver with a Maisa. So why would I not get Malkus? So that's the Chinuch's Kasha. And to that we said the Stechamen has a whole approach, a whole 6 pages about this. All sorts of steers from all over the place, whether, let's say, by Rabbi Yimatze, is that a Lav She'esh Ba Maisa, Lav She'eim Ba Maisa? It's a whole story. And the Stechamen's final approach is that it would seem that in this Moneh HaMitzvos, there has to be a way of categorizing all the mitzvos. Meaning, Be'ikaron, is this mitzvah a lav she'yesh bo ma'isa or a lav she'ein bo ma'isa? Even if I can violate the Isser in two different ways, we have to figure out how to classify this Isser. Is it something that we're going to put in the category of lav she'yesh bo ma'isa, because that's the normal way of violating this Isser? Or are we going to put it in the category of lav she'ein bo ma'isa, because that's the classical way of being over this Isser? And says the Stechemed that it would seem that most of the cases, most of the times when I'm going to be over the Isser of Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitein Michshol, that's going to be in a way that I'm not actually doing any sort of activity. I'm just passively, I'm talking to you, I'm telling you to do some sort of Isser, I'm encouraging you to do it, or I'm giving you an Eitzah She'eino Hagenos Lo. So even though you can come up with a case where you're doing an activity, still, says the Chinuch, and the Stechemed explains what the Chinuch means, that would be classified categorically as a Isser that's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa.
Yeah, the most shot way, as you said, the third understanding of it is definitely a Maisa. You put a Michshol in front of a person with a Pshat in the Pasuk.
Right, and it's very strange that the Rambam doesn't even quote that Pshat in the Pasuk. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure, but the way the Stechemed says it is that you have to put together all the scenarios that you can imagine in your head of being over this Isser. So if I were to imagine all the cases of how a person can actually violate this Isser, it would seem most of the cases would probably be without any sort of activity. So that was the Chinuch. And the Rambam, however, writes in Shorash Tesh in the Sefer HaMitzvos that a person would not get Malkus for being over the Isra of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. However, says the Rambam, there's a different reason why you wouldn't get Malkus. It's not because it's a Lav She'ein Bo Maisa. Rather, says the Rambam, it's a Lav Shebechlalus, which we said, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Samach Dalet, that we have the drasha of lo sochu al adam. That's the most famous classical case of lav shebechlalus, which means you have a pasuk which incorporates, which within this pasuk we have incorporated many different isurim. Lo sochu al adam, the Gemara says, number one, Bezdin is not allowed to eat. They must fast on the day where they kill anyone who's chayv misas Bezdin. Number two, says the Gemara, lo sochu kolim shedespalu al dimchem. Person is not allowed to eat before he davens, which the Meiri in Bat Metzia Kuftes Vav points out, very sharp insight of his, but he says, we know that there's machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether tefillah is deraisa, derabanan. So how could the Gemara have a drasha here that you're not allowed to eat before you daven? If the whole davening is only midrabanan, so what does this drasha mean? What? Oh, so the pashup shot is an asmachta. That's what the Meiri says first there. Second teretz says the Meiri, no, it's a drasha gemura. However, even according to those Rishonim who say that davening is only midrabanan, says the Meiri in Bat Metzia Kuftes Vav, that maybe this means you're not allowed to eat before you say kriyashma. Saying kriyashma is a chiv daraisa, so you're not allowed to eat before you do that either. Many achorenim carry this over to other mitzvahs as well. Person's not allowed to eat before he does a mitzvah that's right in front of him that he's supposed to be doing. Okay. So that is another drasha we learn from losochel al adam. A third drasha the Gemara learns out is a ben sora mora is not allowed to eat. Losochel achila hamevia lidei dam. A ben sora mora is not allowed to eat and become drunk from the wine that he's going to drink, which will ultimately lead him to he's going to get Misas Bezin. Bezin's going to kill him for his activity. So all these drushes together make a lav shebechlalus. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Samach Dalid. That's a classical case, Samach Gimel, that's a classical case of a lav shebechlalus. Therefore, says the Rambam over here, this would follow that the Isser of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshal is also considered a lav shebechlalus, because as we said, there are three different understandings of this pasuk that we learn out from the simple meaning of the words. Number one, you're not allowed to put something in front of the blind man who's walking on the street. Number two, I'm not allowed to give any sort of bad advice to a person who asks me for advice in any area. And number three, I may not allow someone to do an avera. I may not encourage anyone to do an avera. Those are the three understandings of the pasuk, and therefore, says the Rambam, this would be considered a lav shebechlalus. Okay, so that was just for the beginning. Then we discussed quickly, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Beis that lifnei edem shel avodas kochavim, before the non-Jewish holidays, a person is not allowed to do any business with the non-Jew. Why? Says the Gemara, either because it's mishum harvacha or mishum lifnei iver lo sitei michshal, which means what? Because we know that the non-Jew is going to his church or his prayer home, whatever he uses to serve his god, his idol. So since we know that he's going to go do some sort of worship there on his holiday, therefore says the Gemara, I'm not allowed to do business with him. Either because the azulamodet, because he's going to go and thank his God on the holiday, he's going to go thank his God for doing such a great favor to him and allowing this business deal to go through. That's reason number one, says the Gemara. Reason number two, the Gemara says, is because we're considering mishum harvacha, because now that I give this person an animal, let's say I do business with him, and I give him an animal, now he's going to take my animal and sacrifice it to the Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, nafkamina would be, what would be the difference between these two reasons? Says the Gemara, difference would be, if he already has behema achrita, if the non-Jew already has his own animal, so I'm not helping him now to find some sort of animal to sacrifice to his God, because he has one without me. With or without me, he's going to have it. Just, if the problem is mishum, lifnei iver lo sitei michshal, then now I'm setting him up to go and pray to his God and thank his God for giving him this wonderful business transaction, so then that would still not be allowed. Okay. So the Gemara ends up saying that there's a difference between chad iver dinahara and Shrei Iver Dinahar. That's basically what the Gemara and Davav and Avodah Zarah comes out, like as follows. Chad Iver Dinahara means that, let's say I'm sitting at this table, I happen to be a Nazir. I'm not allowed to drink a cup of wine. So I'm sitting here and the cup of wine is right in front of me. So instead of me sticking my hand out to get it, which I easily could do, the person across the table pushes the cup toward my hand. So that's called Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshal, B'Chad Iver Dinahar. I could have easily gotten that cup of wine on my own without his assistance, yet you went out of your way to assist me. So that's called b'chad iver dinahara. That's on one side of a river. Means what? Anything that's within my reach, I didn't need help to get it. That would be called lifnei iver, b'chad iver dinahara. And the simple understanding of the Gemara is, in such a case, there's no iser lifnei iver. That's what the Gemara says. The only time I violate the iser is when it's betray iver dinahara. When I'm on this side of the river, or on this side of the table, and I would not be able to get to the other side. That cup of wine is on the other side of the river, and you happen to have a boat that's going to bring the cup of wine over. So that's called betray iver dinahara. I'm actually facilitating the iser in that case, because I would not have been able to get the iser on my own. And the only way I get it is through this person who's actually helping me out. So So in such a case, says the Gemara, that's when the Torah says the Isra of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol applies only when it's betray Iver Dinahar. So the Ran on the Sugi there and Tosis in Shabbos Daf Gimel both say the same thing, that this is only with regard to an Isra Midaraisa. However, Midarabbanan, obviously I'm still not allowed to do it to push the cup closer to the person who's not allowed to drink it, because that would still be called a Misayeya Lidei Over Aver. That would still be called someone is assisting his friend to do an Avera. Even though he could have done it without me, in the end of the day, I'm still pitching in a little bit to help him do that Aver. That's what the Ran and Tosis write over there. And we discussed last week that the Ramah and the Gra have a discussion about, let's say a person could have bought this item without me. He could have bought it in another store. Yet I am opening a store which is going to sell him something that he's not allowed to eat, or he's not allowed to use, or he's not allowed to have. So whatever it is, so that is a whole discussion in the Ramah and the Bir Agra. So we're not going to get back into that again. When we discuss Lifnei Iver, everyone always talks about, we'll just discuss it in the next 2-3 minutes.
If you own that store where this trade food sold, you get on the Vera, even if you're not the one who's directly selling the food to that.
I mean, there's a separate problem. The example that you gave has a separate issue involved, which is Tosis himself talks about, the Gemara himself in Parakal Shah talks about a person is Asur Lasos Schar B'machalas Asuras. I'm not allowed to have a business where I sell trefa food, because that's facilitating Isurim. So I'm not allowed to own a store where they sell trefa food. That's number one. That's without the Sol Sugi, I'm not allowed to do it. It's a discussion in the Shach in Yerodeya. Where is that? Schar B'machalas Asuras is Kufyud, the beginning of Chelik Bez Yerodeya. So Kufyud Zayin or Kuf Tesvav, I don't remember. So the Shach over there, whichever halacha it's in, the beginning of Chelik Bez. So the Shach over there has a discussion whether the Schor B'machalas Asuras is an Isser Midaraisa or only an Isser Midarabanan. Sridi Eish writes that he thinks it's only Midarabanan. Sridi Eish writes in a tshuva, and he proves it because he says, I think there are four examples of where we say the Isser Schor B'machalas Asuras does not apply. It's just tangentially, but once you raise it, it's an interesting point.
It would be problematic then for somebody to become like a manager for a Stop and Shop where from people would walk in, let's say people who are not from, if they would buy.
I mean, a manager is not the same as an owner. A person who owns it, that's called doing Schar B'machalas Asuras. Stop and Shop is paying me to work in their store, that's a different thing. But the four examples I think that the Mechaber gives in the beginning of Chelek Bez Yerodeya, when the Isser Schor B'machalas Hasuras doesn't apply, let me just think. I think one, the Mechaber says, quoting the Rambam, there's a direct quote from the Rambam, when I have Chelev. Since the Pasuk says that Chelev is Mutter B'schorah, it's a Mefurisha Pasuk in the Torah, so since Chelev is Mutter to do business with, so if I have Chelev, even though it's Asar B'achila, it's Mutter B'schorah. That's example number one. Example number two, the Chachma Sadam says, is if a person is only Nizdamnu, I didn't go out of my way to start a business like this where I'm going to be selling machalas asuras. Rather, it's nizdamnu, fell in my lap. Let's say I win the lottery. And today, instead of giving me $50 million in the lottery in cash or in whatever, in stocks, whatever they're going to give me, they decide they're going to give me a pig farm. Whatever. Let's say it's worth $50 million. Let's assume. So what am I supposed to do? This is a Maisa Shahaya. I was there. A guy called my father one day that his father was a non-religious Jew. And this boy was in YU. He was married with a few kids. He was a Baal Tshuva Gemura. And one day, he got along very well with his parents, but they weren't religious. And one day, his father passed away very suddenly. And the next thing he knew, he got the whole Yerusha. I think he was an only child. Or something. Maybe he was one of a few children. Whatever. He got a large portion of the Yerusha. And as it turned out, his father owned a pig farm. And he was a very wealthy man from this pig farm that he owned. So the guy called up. He was nervous. Schor B'machalas Asuras is an Isser, at least Midrabbanan. Sridi Eish writes it's Midrabbanan, but many say it's their Isa. So he had the Shiloh. What do you do? Do I have to get rid of it right away? Am I mechuyev to just be mafkarid and say, I'm willing to forego millions of dollars here on the Yerusha that I just got because my father passed away? Or do we say no? So I think the answer is that if it's only Nizdamnu, that's something that fell into his lap. That's not something that he went out of his way to actually make a business out of. If I go and I open a store with selling machalas hasuras, that's not nizdamnu. That's not falling in my lap. That's actually facilitating isurim to people. However, over here, where the guy just got a Yerusha from his father and he didn't expect this to happen, that's called nizdamnu. Anyway, so that's a little bit with regard to that. There are two other...
Nevela,
yeah.
And nevela is, I mean, in the Marseille, you can have enough in the village. It's out the door.
Oh, Marfa Lenachri, right.
Yeah, so is that in Marfa Lenachri or not?
So nevelos, that's a Gemara called Shah. The Gemara talks to Anachula, and the Gemara says that nevelos, I'm a furisha pasuk, that I'm allowed to have hana from nevela. So I think that we say over there, you're allowed to. I think that's also one of the exceptions. I don't know exactly. I remember the Gemara says b'feir, that it's mutter b'schar, because the Gemara says that the pasuk says by nevela, ol machal enachri. So that's a discussion. Tosis in Kol Shah talks about different things. It talks about horses and pigs. I don't know, a whole different discussion. But we would be remiss if we were talking about Lifnei Iver and we didn't discuss this one quick point, which we'll just discuss quickly because I'm sure everyone's heard it already, but can't go on without it. A famous discussion whether Lifnei Iver is an Isser Klali or an Isser Prati, which means when I have each Isser in the Torah, so in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's books, when he's checking off my, let's just put it in layman's terms for ourselves. So when we're checking off the book and we're deciding, did you do this Isser or this mitzvah? Did you do it in your lifetime? So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to check off when we're over an Isser of Lifnei Iver? Right? We convince someone to do an Aveira. So do I get a check in the Aveira box for Lifnei Iver? That's a simple understanding. Because I tripped someone up to do an Isser. So I would put in the Aveira box, right, the Isser Lifnei Iver. Or do you say, no, whatever that person ended up violating, I have a portion in his Aveira. So let's say I convinced this person to go rob a bank. So now I have a portion in Losigzel. So in my Aveira box in Shemayim, they're going to write Losigzel. They're not going to write Lifnei Iver. So that's what the Lomdim, the Achronim all call this. Is it an Isser Klali? Is this a general Isser? Is Lifnei Iver something that's hovering over my head that I'm never allowed to help or entice or assist anyone to do an Isser? Whatever the Isser is, I'm not allowed to help a person to do that Isser. And if I do, I'm just violating an Isser Lifnei Iver. Or do I say, no, it's an Isser Klali. On each and every Aveir in the Torah, not only is there an Isser on myself to do it, there's also an Isser for me to facilitate that Isser to someone else. And therefore, if I end up convincing someone else to do that other Aveira, I would be a partial owner of that Aveira of Lo Sigza. So this sounds like a very...
And Nazir too. I mean, there's no Isser for him to be a Nazir.
Uh-huh.
So we have that wine.
I guess you have to say there's an Isser. If I would have been a Nazir, there's an Isser for me to drink wine.
If you would have been.
That's a good point.
How are you going to get... This
very strong point.
Tzara, that's not an Aveira at all.
The what?
The guy ate Tzara. So he bought, you gave him bad advice. So he bought the real estate. It's not an Aveira to buy real estate.
No, so then for sure I'm over the Isser of Lifnei Iver. The question is within the understanding of Lifnei Iver, where I'm not allowed to help someone do an Aveira, so what does that mean? So that's a very strong point. I don't know, I never thought of that. I have to think about that. But this sounds like it's floating in the air. What kind of Chakira is this? What's the difference if it's Klali or Prati? What do I care? When I get to Shemayim, we'll figure it out. Answer is, in Shulchan Aruch, makes a big nafka mina. Why the Baal HaMaor and the Ramban have a big disagreement? What's the story if, I convince someone, a guy walks over to me, let's say, paint this picture in your head. A guy walks over to me and he says, go convince your friend to do an Isser Gili Arayis. So Gili Arayis is one of the Shalosh Aveiros HaChamuras. A person has to give up his life not to be over Gili Arayis. So if a non-Jew walks over to me and says, I should go commit some sort of activity of Gili Arayis, so I have to let myself be killed instead of being over the Isser. Let's say a non-Jew walks over to me and he tells me that I should convince another Jew to go be over the Isser Gili Arayis.
It's worse.
So it shouldn't be worse than Gili Arayis. It's either the same as Gili Arayis and I must give up my life, just like I would have to give up my life if he's trying to convince me myself. Or do we say, no, he's just convincing me to do an Aveir of Lifnei Iver. He's not convincing me to do an Isser of Gili Arayis. I have no hand in this next person who's actually going to violate the Isser. That's nothing to do with me. I happen to be violating Lifnei Iver. So if the whole problem of Lifnei Iver is a Klali, is an Isser Klali, it's something that just hovers over my head. So when this non-Jew walks over to me and tells me that I'm not allowed to, that I must convince my friend to violate an Isser Gili Arayis, that would actually play out in this Nafkamina. Would I be mechuyev to give up my life and not convince my friend to violate this Isser, or not? So it's interesting, if you look in the Gemara Kedusha Lamed Beis, the Gemara has a very interesting story, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that the Gemara says that the Rabba, that he ripped up, what? Right, he took his son's shirt and he ripped it up in front of him. Karshi Roy Debre. He ripped his son's shirt right in front of him. Why? Says the Gemara, Amar Ezel Ichzi Yirasach Yilarasach. Let me see if my son's a tzaddik or not. Let's see if he'll get angry at me or not, because I ripped up his fancy suit right in front of his face. Let's see if he gets angry. So one of the people who was standing there asked him, what right do you have? You're being over on the Isser Lifnei Iver. Why? Because your son is going to yell at his father, and that's going to be a violation of Kibbut Aveim. So the Gemara has this kasha. So says the Gemara, nah, I was a machal on my cup. So what's the difference? So therefore, so it would seem from the Gemara, they point out that it would seem from the Gemara that from the fact that the Gemara says he was machal on his covet and therefore there's no Isser Lifnei Iver, it sounds like the only time there's an Isser Lifnei Iver is if the guy actually goes ahead and does that Aveira. But if he doesn't end up carrying it out, so maybe there is no Isser Lifnei Iver. Why? That would seem to indicate that maybe the Isser Lifnei Iver has a very strong connection between the person who's doing the Aveira and the person who's convincing him to do it. I have a certain portion of that Aveira that he's violating. It's not that I just was violating the Isser of Lifnei Iver and I pushed him into doing something and what he does has nothing to do with me. No, what he does directly relates back to me. That's what it would seem from that Gemara. However, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. We don't consider me a Shliach here. We just consider
it's a semester share. There is some sort of a.
I don't think this is midin shliach. We're going to talk about it in a few minutes, but I don't think this is midin. The Isser Lifnei Iver is not midin shliach l'dvar aveir. Right, but I'm convincing him. I'm sitting and convincing him.
Theoretical. He may not listen.
That's true. We'll see in a minute. That is going to play in.
If there's an independent Isser Lifnei Iver,
right?
Then I go back to again. If I give you advice, I say to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Bad advice. You don't do it.
Right.
Am I over on anything?
Same question.
Right.
Well, right. Why do I always say it's either an issachar or an issachar? I can say it's both. That you're favored, there are two parts to it. There's an inyan of another mamakai, which is the clothing of the favor, mm-hmm. and there's an inyan of another machaber, which is the
directs
the act. If he doesn't do it, you don't get the Beinadam Machaveira part. You don't get the Prati part. Mm-hmm. Because you're still labor on the...
Klapi Shmai, you did something wrong.
Klapi Shmai, you're still labor.
Could be. I don't know. It seems from the Balamar and the Ramban that they hold it's mutually exclusive. It could be like the Steichem said before in Lav Sheh Bechlolos, in Lav Sheh Mamaisa also. You have to classify each Aveira. Is this... It could be. I'm not sure. Could be you have to classify each Aveira and figure out what's the category of each and every Aveira that you're going
right.
to be discussing.
If you dig a hole and you cover it up,
right.
you've already committed an Aveira. It doesn't make a difference if somebody falls into it or not. You don't have to wait for the thing to happen.
Let's say there's an issue in the Torah.
Once you did the act.
Is that true? The Torah says, Lo sasim damim b'vesecha. Right? I have to make a maka on my roof because... I have to be concerned someone's going
to
fall off the roof one time
so
when he's on the
roof. You don't have to wait until the person falls off the roof to be over it. Right?
So that's what I'm saying. If let's say I don't put up a maka right away, I wait for a year and a half. It happens to me no one falls off the roof.
Every day you don't have to maka up to your roof.
You're over an isser. Right. That's what you would say. Probably right. I don't know.
So if you give the nuzzle of wine and he spills it out, so
right.
you drink that. Have you done something wrong?
That's the question. When I think about the simple understanding of the Pasuk says, Lifnei Iver lo sitein michshol. So they point out that the simple understanding of the Pasuk is, I'm not allowed to place something in front of him that's going to be an Isser. Doesn't matter if he's over or not. Like you're saying, Klapi Shmaya, it's between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Am I doing the right thing here or not? Obviously I'm doing the wrong thing because I'm setting someone up to do an Aveir. If he has a Yetzer Tov which convinces him not to do it, not to listen to me, so Matav Manoim. But for me, as far as I'm concerned, I am doing the wrong thing. So therefore...
It wasn't that thing with when he took Soto. So he said, I didn't do anything wrong. So God says, I knew what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that you already kind of
right away.
Correct.
Right. Could be. Okay. So that's a famous discussion in this Balamar and the Ramban, whether Lifnei Iver is an Isser Klali or an Isser Prati. So let's move on. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Gimel, which we have right here in number one. The Gemara has a very, very famous discussion about when the parameters of Lifnei Iver do apply and do not apply. So let's read the Mishnah as follows. Elu dvar masurim limkar la'obed kochavim. There are certain items which a person may not sell to a non-Jew. Number one, it's the rublin, ubenos shuach, upetotros, ulevona, betarnagol halavim. There are certain plants and there are certain animals, a tarnagol halavim is a white chicken. So I'm not allowed to sell all these things to a non-Jew. Why? Because we're concerned. There are more sheets right there for anyone who wants. I may not sell them to a non-Jew. Why? Because we're concerned that the non-Jew is going to use them to serve his Avodah Zarah. So a person is not allowed to sell these things. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda says as follows. Mutter limkar lo tarnagol lavan bein hatarnagolim. I'm not allowed to sell him one white chicken by itself because I know whatever. They used to use white chickens to serve their Avodah Zarah. So I'm not allowed to sell him one by itself. However, I'm allowed to sell him a whole group of chickens. If I'm just selling it to him by itself, and I assume that he's going to use it to serve as a bazaar, I'm allowed to, I should just snap off one of the fingers of the chicken, and this way, since the Gaim are also makbid on a balmum, they would never bring an imperfect carbon to their Avodah Zarah. So therefore, I should cut off the leg. This way I know that the guy is not going to use this for the Avodah Zarah. Uvu Gemara Shamba on the base. Tana, the Gemara says over there on Yud Gimel on the base, and we kulan mochan lahan chavila. Here's the key line. I'm allowed to sell to the non-Jew a big bundle of this item. Of, let's say, the chickens. I'm allowed to sell them 50 chickens at a time. The kama chavila, how much is a bundle? So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda ben Maaser, en chavila plus mishlosha minyan. I need to have a group of three that's already considered a bundle. When I'm selling one, that's considered one. When I'm selling two, that's considered two. When I'm selling three, that's already considered a whole bunch, a whole group. Ask the Gemara, why am I allowed to sell him a whole group of animals together, a whole group of white chickens? V'leichash dilma azul umazvin la'achrini umakhtari. You're right. If he's buying a whole bunch of them, obviously it means that he just wants chickens to hang around in his house, in his farm, or he just wants to eat them. But why shouldn't I be concerned that maybe the reason why he's buying 10, 20, 30 chickens from me is because he's going to stand right outside of the base of Avodah Zarah, and he's going to sell them, that this way everyone will use them for the Avodah Zarah. Why shouldn't I be concerned about that? Amar Abayi, here's the key line of the Gemara, Alifnei Mafkadinan. We have an Isser of Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitei Michshol, Alifnei Delifnei Lo Mafkadinan. We do not have to make sure that when something is two steps removed from us, that's not our problem. So over here, where it's going to be two steps removed from the Avera, I don't have to worry about it. Meaning what? If I'm selling him a group of 30 chickens, and now he's going to go ahead and sell those chickens to other Ovdei Avodah Zarah to serve their Avodah Zarah, that's not my problem. That's twice removed. I'm giving it to him. He could do what he wants with it. However, the only issur lifnei iver would be if I would go and sell it to the non-Jew myself, who I know is going to use it on his own to serve the Avodah Zarah, then that would not be allowed. So that's clear in the Gemara, and that is paskin also in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridei, in the sugis of Lifnei Iver.
There's no problem with making crosses. I make 100 crosses, sell them to a middleman, who sells it to the priest. No problem.
The Jews were always we'll get into this in a minute. Let's see number two on the source sheet. Shumas Hadeshah talks about almost your case, but we'll see this in a second. In the second half of the Shumas Hadeshah. So let's see. Very interesting discussion in the Trumas Hadeshen, which is interesting that the Trumas Hadeshen is called the Shalos Hatshuvas Trumas Hadeshen, and it's fake. It's not a real Shalos Hatshuvas. He made up the Shalos Hadeshen just to have discussions about whatever he wanted to talk about. But he made it up. Kiilu, someone was sending in these Shalos. That's why a lot of times you'll find very interesting discussions in the Trumas Hadeshen, because he came up with things that he wanted to talk about, but they were never real Shalos. Nowadays, I don't know. I sit with my father. I've heard it all. So you don't have to make up anything. It all happens. It's true. I'm telling you. So the Trumas Hadeshen has a shaila like this. In Siman Reish Tzadi Tes. Nachri halokeach tanugolim zecharim kedei lasarsim. If I own a pet shop, and I know that a non-Jew is walking into the store, and he would like to purchase an animal, kedei lasarsim, in order to neuter the animal. What? The question is, Trumas Hadeshen causes the question, am I allowed to sell this to the non-Jew when I know that he's going to go and neuter the animal? Okay, simple question, comes up all the time. Actually, yesterday, someone emailed me a shaila to ask my father, what is the heter for all the Jews who neuter their animals? Anyone? So, it's a problem. And
is
an Isser Sirus. You're not allowed to, that's Mefurish in the Torah, you're not allowed to be Masaris of Behema, the same way you're not allowed to be Masaris in Adam. You're not allowed to do it. And the Gemara even says in Baba Kamadaf, Tzadi or Tzadi Aleph, I think, that not only am I not allowed to do it, I'm not allowed to give it to a non-Jew to do, either because Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol, there's a Machlokes in the Gemara, which we'll see in a second, there's a Machlokes in the Gemara whether I am allowed to, whether a non-Jew is also not allowed to be Masaris an animal, whether he's not also not allowed to neuter an animal, or is it just something on me that I'm not allowed to neuter an animal? That's a whole discussion in itself. So the Gemara says that I'm not allowed to give my animal to the non-Jewish veterinarian to neuter either, because either lifnei iver l'sita michshol, or because Amir La'akum is Asr, not only in Hilchah Shabbos, it's Asr even in Shari Surah. That's what the Gemara says in Daf Tzadi, and the Gemara says in Daf Tzadi, if I do it, I'm not allowed to have anah from the animal. That's how seriously we take this Isser. That's what the Gemara says. It's a big problem. I'm not sure how everyone gets out of it. I asked around about this yesterday. I just was curious if anyone spoke about it. There are some shuvas written. I can't say I understood them. I looked through some of them yesterday before I responded, but I did speak to Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, who's a Rebbe in YU. His father lives over here right near Shari, Rabbi Carmi Schwartz. And he said that Carmi Schwartz was asked by Touro College years ago that they wanted to open a program to make Jewish vets, or non-Jewish vets, whatever. And the question was, were they allowed to do it? They were concerned that maybe they're facilitating Isser of Siris because they're training people to do neutering. Apparently I don't know why they asked him to figure this out, but he went to Rav David Cohn from Flatbush, and apparently Rav David Cohn wrote a tshuva l'hakel, why it would be mutter to open a school that teaches these types of activities. I have no idea, I never saw the tshuva, can't vouch for it, I don't know what his hetterim were. What?
It's like a secondary.
Could be, right, it could be, I didn't see it, but anyway, the shaila comes up. So here, the Tshumas Hadeshim was the original person to bring up the shaila, and he writes as follows. If you look at the underlined part, tshuva, Yira, it seems to me, the Hafnas Altai Bepluktar Rav Asr. It seems to me that this has a very old, old history. Before we get into the Shiloh, we have to discuss the old history. What is that? The Smag Pasak, the Kaimalan Kedir Rav Chidka. The Smag holds that we hold like Rav Chizda, the Sabra de Bnei Noach, Mizharim al Asiris. There's a machlokes in the Gemara whether non-Jews are also not allowed to neuter an animal. So the Smag holds that we paskin that a non-Jew is also not allowed to neuter an animal. Ludidei, according to the Smag, who holds that a non-Jew may not, Asr limkalo, that I'm not allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew when I know he's going to neuter it. Mishim dekaavar lefneiver lesitei michshol kidi isav aparakamad avadazara, whatever. Go to the next line. Va'afagat deino amr b'feir shekono l'shem kach, even though the non-Jew doesn't tell me specifically that he's going to do this to the animal, we know in the back of his mind, we know exactly why he's buying this animal. We know he doesn't want it to reproduce. We know he doesn't want it to have these organs, so therefore we know he's going to do this to an animal. Therefore, says the Tshumas Hadeshim, I would not be allowed to sell a pet to a person who I know is going to neuter it. Okay. Amnam, says the Tshumas Hadeshim, others hold that we don't hold like that. The Rush writes in Bab Metzia that we hold that a non-Jew may do neutering. It's not a problem for a non-Jew to neuter an animal. Ula didu, according to the Rush, who paskins that way, v'adai shari limkar l'nachri tanagolam zachar, it would be allowed for me, I would be allowed to sell the non-Jew these chickens. Afal pisha yodeva v'adai shiasar sam kim delo muzer Allah. I would be allowed to sell it to him, even though I know he's going to do the Isser, because there's no Isser for him. Here's the punchline. Says the Tshumas Hadeshim, now, I'm not sure if I'm right. Even according to the Smag, who says that there is a problem for a non-Jew to do Sirus on the animal, there is a side where I can figure out why this would be allowed. A regular layman who buys an animal doesn't know how to do Sirus on his own. He's going to bring it to the pet shop to take care of it, right? He's going to bring it to the vet to take care of it, to do the surgery. So since he's not going to do it on his own, he's just going to bring it to a secondary party to do the Siras. Therefore, says the Tshumas Hadeshim, that's considered lifnei de lifnei. That is twice removed. And therefore, I would not have to worry about the Isser. So again, the Tshumas Hadeshim originally thought that I'm not allowed to sell an animal to a non-Jew because I know he's going to neuter it. However, he says, since I know that the person doesn't know how to do this on his own, and he's just going to give it to a vet to do for him, that's called lifnei to lifnei. That's twice removed, and therefore it would be mutter. That's what the Tshumas Hadeshim writes. If you look at the next part of it, it says b'psakim, simon chav zayin, by the underlined part. Kasav al-mechir svarim hapsulim lakomer. Let's say I find in the middle of the street. Let's dream up of such a case. I'm walking down the street one day, I see a big pile of books. I have no idea what these books are. Let's say they're in German. I don't know how to read German. So I'm going to go to my local Orthodox Christian Germans, and I'm going to go speak to them and tell them, listen, I found a bunch of books. You want to buy them for me? So they're happy to buy them. Meanwhile, I have no idea. It could be these are prayer books. It could be they're just medical books. It could be they're philosophy books or psychology books. I have no idea what they are. So since I don't read them, so what's the story? Am I allowed to go and sell these books to the non-Jewish German who's able to read them, or should we assume that maybe I'm facilitating an iser to the Germans? So says the Tshuvas Hadeshet. Eini yodea heter. Am I allowed to sell these books to the Germans? Eini yodea heter. Yodua sha'osan svaram sefer yerusham shemehem ezamer v'om v'rezor. If let's say I know that these are old prayer books, so then he says, I'm for sure not allowed to sell to a non-Jew. Why? Because I know he's going to use my books that I just sold him to go and violate an aver. Amnam, says the Tshuvas Hadeshet. Im ein yodua mahi ha-sefer. If I'm not sure what this book is, this book might be a medical book. This book might be something else. Yesh lahatu de talina barov svarim. I'm allowed to sell it to the non-Jew. Why? Because I can assume it's probably one of the regular books. It's not a prayer book. They wrote sifrei misifrei mishpatim misifrei refuah misifrei chachamos tchuna v'tishboros and musica. He says that most of the books that I'm going to find are not going to be prayer books. Most of the books out of random. If I pick up a book that's written in a language which I don't know, I don't have to assume it's a prayer book, and I can assume it's something normal. Even if I do know, now he comes to the punchline like he said before. Maybe you could say, even if I do know that this is a prayer book, maybe it's also allowed. Why? Im einer mocha lekomer. If I don't go and sell it to the priest himself who's going to pray, ela lenachri acher. I go and I sell it to a regular non-religious Catholic, so he's not going to pray with it. He's just going to sell it to the priest to use. So it says the Tshuvas Hadeshet in such a case, that wouldn't be an issue. Why? Because that's lifnei to lifnei. That's twice removed from the Isser. However, we're going to see that this is a big discussion. If you look in the next source, the Pischei Tshuva and Yerodeus and Kufnon Aleph has an interesting discussion, which is as follows. He says, Einber heitev delom afkedina na lifnei de lifnei. We don't have an Isser of lifnei de lifnei, like the Gemara said. When it's twice removed, I don't have to worry about it. V'ayim mitshuvas chavis yar, b'inin mashik tzas kali adas. Some light-headed people, kishiyesh lahem mishpatim echad, etzel, shofet ovekacham. Let's say I was summoned to court by some sort of other party. I'm summoned to court. So what do? I go before, and I bribe the judge. So says the Pischei Tshuva. I bribe the judge, and I give him some sort of present, ukafiyah nir, yishbeze iser delifnei iver. The judges, the non-Jewish judges, also are mitzvah al adinim. It's one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. They have to run a just society. They have to run a just judicial system. And now I'm going and corrupting the system because I'm going and bribing the judge. So it says the Pischei Tshuva, it would seem that that would not be allowed. Acharei yishev b'nei Noach mizharim al adinim ayin sham. However, he says, I don't go to the judge himself. Let's say I go to the... What?
The bagman. You give it to the bagman.
I give it to the bagman. I don't know who he is, but whoever he is. Right? I give it to someone else who works there. I give it to the janitor, and I say, you know, when I walk out, just go to the judge and tell him this is from me. So says the Pischei Tshuva, it could be that's okay. Why? Because that's lifnei to lifnei. So it's a great etzer. Go and bribe every judge. It's not allowed. Go and give it to a third party to give to the judge. That's what the Pischei Tshuva writes. It could be that that's mutter, because that's lifnei to lifnei. That's twice removed. However, if you look in the next source, that's Tosis and Avodah Zarah Daf Yedalid, he's talking about exactly the same case as the Tshuvas Hadeshet himself, and he says, V'hafinami svarim hapsulim haruim letfila bebeis avodas kochavim, asur limkar lahem lekomrim. I'm obviously not allowed to sell it to the priest himself because I'm facilitating an iser to him. And then says Tosis, V'af lovi kocham she'eno komar asur. Even if I sell it to an Ovi kochavim who is not a priest, even if I just sell it to a regular religious Catholic, that is also not going to be allowed. Why? Because I know he's going to end up using it. I know he's going to end up selling it to the non-Jew who's going to use it to pray. That is also not allowed, and therefore the Bach and the Mir Agra in Zimukuf Lamates, they write that the only time lifnei to lifnei is allowed, the only time twice removed is allowed, is when I'm not sure if an Isser is going to come out of it. But over here, where I know they're going to use this prayer book, someone's going to use it. So then it would not be allowed, even though I'm twice removed from the Isser. So let's just talk quickly about the whatever. If you look in Source 5, you'll see the Halacha Lamais and Shulchan Aruch where these two opinions are discussed as well, Tshuvas Hadeshet and the Tosfos. It would seem from the Shulchan Aruch simple reading that the simple psak halacha is like the Tshuvas Hadeshet. That really, even if I know in the end of the day it's going to be some sort of iser violated because of what I did, I don't have to worry about it as long as it's twice removed. That's from the simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, for anyone, it would seem that that would be permissible, even though I know an Isser is going to come forth from this. So that's for that. Let's go into a little bit of an interesting discussion, which will end this part of the shiur, about when there are possible heterim for the Isser of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitim Michshol. When is it possible that I'm allowed to do it? So it's interesting, if you look in the Shach and Yerodeh, Simon Kufnun Aleph Sevav, the Shach writes, he has a stira in different Rishonim, whether there's an Isser Lifnei Iver, Bechad Iver Dinahara, or not. He's not sure, he says a stira in Tosfos, from Shabbos to different places, Shabbos to Avodah Zarah, Dabav. He says that he's not sure how to resolve all the stiras. If you look in the Stechemet, he has six long answers from Moldach Renim to explain exactly how to get out of the stira. But the Shach himself writes that the answer to the stira is, when do I say that even when it's Bechad Iver Dinahara, when do I say even when it's so easy for the person to do the Aver on his own, and I'm just helping him a little bit, when do I say that that's not permissible? Says the Shach, that's when we're dealing with the Yisrael, who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvos. However, if I'm dealing with an Oved Kochavim, or with a Yisrael Mummer, says the Shach, there's no Yisrael Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol, when it's Bechad Iver Dinahara. No Masayel L'Dvar Aver, no problem. Which is very, very questionable, because and the Dogma Rava adds on over there that if I have a person who's over Averis Bemazid, ain't on a Mitzuvim Boba Lifneir. No problem. I don't have to worry about Lifneir on such a person. He chooses to do Averis and it's his problem. And that's pretty close to what the Shach writes as well, that when I have a Yisrael Mummer, I'm allowed to facilitate an Isser to him, which is so problematic because the Stechemet and other Achmarim ask, what do you mean, Afa Pishachata Yisrael Hu? Even though he's a Yisrael Mummer, he's a Jew. How am I allowed to set him up to do an Averi? He's a Jewish person. How can I do this to him? So that's the Kasha of the Achronim. If you look similarly in Yerodeh and Kuf Yud Beis, which is the beginning of Chelek Beis Yerodeh, we have the whole sugya, all the halachas of Pas and Bishop Achim. So the Pesachet Shuva writes over there that, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch writes that I'm not allowed to eat Pas Achim, okay, unless it's Pas Palter, whatever, there are certain heterim. Says the Pesachet Shuva as follows. That if it's a pashal mummer, it's mutter. When I have the bread of a non-Jew, that's not allowed. But if I have a bread of a mummer, so in the end of the day, still Jewish, so of course I'm allowed to eat his bread. Why? So the Achronim explained that the reason why is because the whole Isser of Pas Akum is because we're concerned maybe you're going to end up marrying his daughter. When I have a Yisrael mummer, it's not so terrible. So I'll marry his daughter, maybe she's going to come for him. If I marry a non-Jewish woman, that's not allowed. So therefore, says the Pesachet Shuva, he thinks that in such a case it would be allowed. However, and in Shulchan Aruch Yerodeh, when it comes to Hilchos Ribis, the Shulchan Aruch writes that there's no Isser Ribis on a Mummer. Why? Because it says La Achicha, and he's Lo Mikri Achicha. Once he becomes a Mummer, he's out. Which is very questionable. It's just like this Shach. How can you say there's no Isser Lifneiver when we're discussing a person who's a Yisrael Mummer? So the Avni Nezer writes that when I have a person who is a mummer, Yisrael mummer. So the Avnei Nezer writes that this individual has miktas dine Yisrael and he has miktas dine Akum, which is very fascinating. How could you have a person who's half Jewish and half non-Jewish? It's like, it's, what? Either you're one or the other. How do you have it? The Gemara always comes up with a case. Chatzi Ben Chorim. But that's like the one strange case in the whole world where, like, it's interesting, the Minchas Chinuch, every time he needs an afkamina, he needs to dig something up. So he goes, if you have a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, what do you have in this case? Whatever. But he never dreams of a case like this. A Yisrael Mummer is going to be considered a Chatzi Yisrael, Chatzi Goy. Whatever. So that's the Avnei Nezer's understanding of what a Yisrael Mummer status is. That he's a Mixas Yisrael and he's a Mixas Akum. And therefore says the Avnei Nezer, such a genius insight. He says that the whole Arvus that I have, the whole responsibility that I have towards others, is learned that only once Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael, that's when the mitzvah of Arvus began. So says the Avnei Nezer, therefore, that being the case, when I have the Isser of Lifnei, when I have a person like this, who's a Mixas Yisrael and a Mixas Akum, he has no right to live in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Lo Seishvim Ba'artzachem, a non-Jew is not allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael. Officially, it has to be conquered by all the Jews, and they have to live there. So he says, we would have no right to let this person live in Eretz Yisrael, and that being the case, we have no Chiyav Arbus on him either. That's what he says. Since the person has a Mixas Din Yisrael, Mixas Din Akum, since he's a little bit Jewish, a little bit non-Jewish, so the non-Jewish status in him kills it. And therefore, since we would throw him out of Eretz Yisrael, therefore we have no Chiyav Arbus, and therefore there's no Isser Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol. That's like a whopper of an explanation. But the Avnei Nezer writes that he thinks the Halacha L'Maisa should be like the Shach, that whenever I have a Yisrael Mummer, I am not Mitzuvah and Lifnei Iver. There's no problem. I'm allowed to do whatever I want, and I don't have to be concerned about his problem of Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Michshol. What?
It's worse than that.
Yeah, it's Fascinating. It's wild. And that's what he says. He says, Ein lozes meharas hashat. The Abnezer writes, we shouldn't move from the haras hashat. So it's not worse than a goy, because the whole time the Gemara said that a goy is not allowed is when it's betray of din har, when he couldn't have done it without me. Over here, they're only discussing mechad of din har. That's, I think that's the answer. However, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Erevin writes that the halacha is not like the shach. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Shin Mam Zayin Ois Zayin writes very clearly in Hilchos Erevin Chelek Dal Mishnah Berurah that the halacha is not like the shach. And Yisrael Mumer is considered Yisrael L'chol Davar. There's an interesting discussion in the Meiri and in Eben Ezer and Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer Siman Mam Dalit about what's the story with Kedusha on Mumer. If a Mumer does Kedusha on Kedusha Chal or not, whatever. Anyway, a whole discussion. A lot to talk about a Mumer for another time. But this is the partial discussion. When I spoke to my father about the shach, he thought most of the Paiskim assume not like the Mishnah Berurah. He thought we assume that when you have a Yisrael Mumer, we are not Mitzuvah Lif Neighbor. Now, when does this Shaila ever come up? Right? You should assume it probably doesn't come up, because, what do you mean? Don't trip someone up in Yisrael. It doesn't matter what type of person he is. Don't get involved. Shaila did come up. I remember last year when there was some sort of story around Pesach time, a Yisrael Mumer owned a big whiskey company, and he didn't sell it for Pesach. And they only found out after Pesach. So is that Chametz Shavu L'Arba Pesach? So do we say there's an Isser Lifnei Iver? If we, whatever, there was a whole Shaila about whatever. So the question was, whether there's a story, whether we say Lifnei Iver by a Mumer or not. This actually comes up Halacha L'Maisa. It's a Shaila in the Shach. And other Acharonim, whether we would assume there's an Isser Lifnei Iver even on a Yisrael Mumer or not. That
Is there an issue with Shiva? It's just been a all kind of Mumer? In other words, so let's say it's not... Not a mitzvah for a Jew, but it's an
Indian from Benoit. I don't know. Interesting question. According to the way that Abnei Nezer says it, that he's mixas din akum, so I would assume that he does. It should make a big nafkamina. Okay, so that's one possible heter is by Yisrael Mumer. Another possible heter, which is fascinating, we'll find the number 6 on the sheet, which is in Shulchan Aruch Herodeasim and Kuf Pei Aleph. We know that there's a lav tehakafa, which means a man is not allowed to shave off his peis. Question exactly where the peis are, but wherever they are, person is not allowed to shave off his peis. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei Kuf Pei Aleph, Isha, a woman, ain't a mitzvah b'lav d'hakafach. She is allowed to shave her whole head if she wants. Any part of her head, that's fine for her to shave. The Yesh Omim, she'af of Isha m'teres l'hakef pas rosha. Says the Shulchan Aruch, even though she's allowed to shave her own head, asura l'hakef pas rosha ish, v'afilu hukat. She's not allowed to facilitate the isra for the man. She's not allowed to go ahead and shave the man's head. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Rabbi Kiva Eger over there writes as follows on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Lanias Daiti, Zer Lachor Lakuli Amma. Why does the Shulchan Aruch write, Yesh Omrim, like some strange opinions hold that the woman is not allowed to shave the man's head? Why is that some strange opinions? Everyone should hold that. How's the woman allowed to help the man to do an Avera? That's Rabbi Kiva Eger asks. What does the Shulchan Aruch mean over here that Yesh Omrim, some opinions say that the woman is not allowed to shave the man? Everyone should say that. That's Lifnei Iver Lositi Mikshal. I'm not allowed to do that. That's the question. So Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, no. It could be that there's no issue of Lifnei Iver here. Just for time, we're going to try to go through this outside. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger that no. Since over here, if the woman doesn't do it for the man is going to go ahead and shave it himself. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, tremendous chiddush, that in such a case where I'm helping the man from violating an aveira that he would have done, you can't brand me with the name Lifnei Iver. Why? If the man would do it himself, he would violate a terrible iser of Lifnei Iver L'siti Mishra. Right? That we know. The man is insisting over here that he wants to shave his head. So instead of him doing the aveira, he pleads with his wife to please do it for him. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, in such a case, the wife is saving him from an aveira. Why? Because had he done it with his own shaver, he would have been chayev mishum hakafa. And now that he's getting his wife to do it, she's saving him from an iser. So therefore, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, it could be, he leaves over the tzarachi and he's not sure, it could be in such a case, I would not violate Lifnei Iver L'siti Mikshal. Why? Because I'm actually helping the husband, I'm not making him fall in farther. That is the fascinating ha'ara of Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yerodeya Simen Kuf Pei Aleph. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger writes. And similarly, we find in Igris Moshe Yerodeya Simen Ayin Beis, where Moshe writes about a person who owns a wedding hall. And I was asked to rent out my wedding hall to a couple who I know there's going to be mixed dancing at the wedding. Let's assume mixed dancing is Gilei Arayos. Let's say. Whatever the definition. Let's say there's going to be Gilei Arayos going on at the wedding. Let's assume. So says our Moshe, someone sent him a shayla. Someone actually asked this to him. Am I allowed to rent out my wedding hall when I know that now I'm facilitating an issur of Gilei Arayos? That is the shayla that was posed to our Moshe. What's the problem?
You're staying at some wedding.
Okay. So that's the shada that Ramesha got. So Ramesha said, of course it's mutter. Why? Because I'm saving the person from an isser. If they don't come to my hall, they're going to get married. So they're going to come to my hall where I have a kosher caterer, and now I'm going to save them from eating treif also, or they're going to go to some treif hall down the block, and not only are they going to have gilui arayos going on, they're also going to eat treif. So says Ramesha, you have to look at the overall perspective. You have to look at the big picture. Like Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, this is saving them from an isser. I'm not helping them do an isser. They're going to do the isser regardless of whether I give them the hall. Now, by giving them the hall, I'm saving them from an avera because now I'm giving them kosher food. On the other hand, they would have had treifa food. That's Ramesha's chiddush. Very interesting. And the same thing in Mincha Shlomo. There's a famous story about the donors, the non-religious donors who came to Kol Torah, and they had a big dedication. And then afterward, they went to Rav Shlomo Zalman's house. So the story goes, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes this in the tshuva, that he sat down and he gave them something to eat and something to drink. And all the Talmidim asked Ramesha after, oh, how were you allowed to do that? You knew they weren't going to make a bracha, and that's the neighbor, the Sitim Michshel, to give someone food that you know they're not going to make a bracha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote a whole tshuva in Mincha Shlomo that since there's an iser aver chamura for them to hate Talmidei Chachamim, and now if I don't give them something to eat or drink, they're going to say, this Talmud Chacham, what kind of man is he? He's not a man of the world. He doesn't understand that when a guest comes, you give him something to eat. So he said, I'm saving them from doing an Aveira. Why? Because now they're sitting and being Tamach Torah. Now they're sitting and doing wonderful things, and now they love Talmidei Chacham and they love yeshivas, and by me not giving them a food, something to eat and drink, I'm setting them up for something worse. I'm setting them up that now they're going to think very poorly of Talmidei Chacham. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, when you look at the overall perspective, the same way Rav Moshe wrote, and it turns out that I'm actually saving the person from something that he would have done worse, that's not called lifnei ivel l'asita michshol. That's called helping the person. That's not called letting him fall in. That's what...
How far do you go with that? I mean, I give a wine to... None of them is going to drink it anyway.
Right.
See, I'm going to the saloon. So instead of going to the giving kosher wine.
Mm-hmm.
So do we say that saving him from an aver? Because otherwise we have non-kosher wine. Now we're giving him kosher wine. So...
As we said, there are three people that talk about this. It's Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who, in extenuating circumstances, was matir. There's Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Thank God I'm not, not thank God, but I'm not any of them. So I definitely can't decide when we would say the guidelines apply and when they don't. It's obviously a very delicate issue. When we would say this applies and when do we say it doesn't. The Meshav Dover actually has a tshuva, or the Netziv has a very interesting tshuva. You have a paid shadchan. The question is he allowed to set up a couple who, let's say he charges $10,000 for a shidduch. Let's say, very successful shidduch. So he sets up a couple that he knows is not going to keep taras hamishpacha. Does he have a right to get involved in such a shidduch or not? That's the shaila of the Meshav Dover. So the Meshav Dover writes that even though he's taking money and even though he's setting up this couple that he knows that they're not going to keep taras hamishpacha, he thinks it's mutter. Why? Because he said, I didn't tell them they have to get married. I set up the first date. You know how much time and effort and energy it takes to actually get a couple married? It's impossible. Not impossible. It obviously works. But he says it's so difficult. It takes forever. So he says, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to set up a date or something, whatever, and they're only going to get married in a year or 2 years or a few months. So he says that that would be permissible. A person would be allowed to be involved in the shidduchim business, even though he knows that he might be setting up people who are not going to keep taras hamishpacha. The Sridi Eish actually has a tshuva also about being misadar kedushin for people who aren't going to keep taras hamishpacha. It's a whole shayla that he discussed also.
Somebody once invited me to be an egg by the kedushin, not known for the people, and I knew that this lady would not go to the mikvah before the wedding. I asked one of the rabbis in this community, and he told me I should not accept it.
Right. The Sridi Eish writes that on principle, that we're not allowed to go, because that's a misayla day over and over. To go to that wedding is showing that you're okay with the marriage, and you're not. That's
to be an egg, not just to go.
Right. You're supporting the marriage.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. So one last issue is the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Hey writes, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, someone who wants to lend money to his friend, he has no right to lend his friend money without Edim watching, without Edim present. Why? Says the Gemara, because that's Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Michshol. Oh, so Rashi writes that he's going to end up denying it because there was no one there to see what happened. I borrowed $1 million and then the next day you come to me that I should pay it back. That never happened. I don't know what you're talking about. So that's the neighbor of Sita Mitchell.
Cash,
what?
Only cash.
Why?
I mean, a check, yeah, for something.
whatever, in a way where he can't catch me. Or so he says, because the person's going to deny it. So that's what he says. And the Prisha and the Bach talk about this, and the Nesivos.
Shows that he gave him the money.
Doesn't show why.
Right.
You have to have an IOU.
Okay, you're right. You have to have an IOU, or you have to have Edim. So the question is, what's with Bizman Hazeh? This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Ayin and Chosha Mishpat. This is a halacha that's Paskin in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Ayin, Chosha Mishpat. So what right do we have nowadays? No one lends money. I lend someone a dollar. Do I ever get two Edim to watch that I'm lending him the money? Of course not. Everyone always lends out money, even bigger, larger amounts of money lend out without Edim. And they assume he's a good friend of mine. And we're not concerned. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he thinks the answer is that he says, since Bizman Hazeh, we know everyone's, trusts each other and everyone knows each other and they're so honest, so there's no problem you can lend him without money. I don't know. If I was writing the Aruch HaShulchan Bizman Hazeh, obviously the Aruch HaShulchan would retract what he said, because we see how many people are stealing money even when everyone knows about it. You know, they catch them red-handed and then they still deny it. So the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't think, is a possible...
Like that. You just finished eating fleishigs. I shouldn't sell you milk because you're going to go drink it?
No, so we assume you're from a yid.
Yeah, I understand. So same thing with the lending money. I assume he's a from a yid.
But you know he's not. Everyone's chashud and alamama nowadays. Look how many people are getting caught and denying it after they got caught. Still denying it. So, I don't know. The Aruch HaShulchan's heter sounds very shaky to me. When I think about it, the Ritva...
It's less likely we took milk than he is to tell you that he never gave him the money.
Yeah. So the Ritva in Megillah Daf Chav Ches quotes B'Shem, his Rebbe, and he says, this whole Gemara in Bab Metziah Daf Ayin Hey, it's just a Midas Chassidus. It's not a din, and I actually have to have it. It's a Midas Chassidus. So according to the Ritva, maybe that's a possible explanation as to why we don't need to do it. I know the Pri Yitzchak actually has a tshuva about this, why it's mutter, and the Pri Yitzchak suggests that since we have Shavuos Heses, where a person, you can actually bring him to Bezin and make him make a Shavua, so Shavuos Heses is going to stop a person from denying it. But nowadays, when we don't have Shavuos Heses, what are you going to say? Not sure. Back to the question. Okay, so just for the last 2 minutes, we're going to discuss something on the Parsha. It's on the other side of the sheet here. I copied this from one of my father's Svarim, Mipnine Harab. It's something that Rav Soloveitchik said at a Hesped one time. So he asked, why do we say, Vayavar Avram Lispo Desar V'Liv Kosa? He says that it says in the Gemara Moed Katan that the way it's supposed to work by Avelis is first you're supposed to have Gimel Yamim Lebechi, I'm first supposed to cry, and then Zayin Yamim Lehesped. Then I go ahead and I put together my thoughts and I have Hespedim. So what's going on over here? Why is it? Soloveitchik explained that the difference between Bechi and Hespedim are that crying is the ultimate, the immediate shock and pain that a person has. He just bursts out into crying. And Hespedim is when he actually gathers his thoughts and he has a few days to think about this person's life and the impact they had on them. So then he says a hesped. Then he puts together his feelings and he actually has something substantial to say. So the question is, why is it by Avram that it's backwards? Why does it say by Yavo Avram lispo de Sara? First he went and he did the hespedim, and then only later it says v'liv kosa, to cry on her. So that's the question. So if you look on the last line of the first paragraph, achi nira lomer, we can say as follows: Da Avram avinu la'acha sheniftara Sara ishto. After Sarah, the wife of Avram, died, Ma'achar Shahaya kol kach kasher eleha. Avram Avinu was so close with his wife, they became one entity, they were such a unified body. Lomatzinu lo od nisyonas batara v'sipurim haruim le'imasu l'daros. You'll notice that in Chumash, we don't find any other stories about Avram Avinu's nisyonas after Sarah dies. Why not? Strange thing. He still lived on. So he says, because kishneim palu biyacha, everything that Avram went through in his life was with Sarah. Every single test that he passed was because he was connected with his wife Sarah and they were mechazik each other. They strengthened each other to actually go through life together. He says, and that's the quintessential marriage, that we want that the people who are married to each other, that the man and the woman who are married should become so close that every single challenge that they have, they go through together and they feel like they're one body when they're going through everything. And he says, that's what it means. Ha-nefesh asher asur b'charan, Avram megayeres ha-nashim, v'sarah megayeres ha-nashim. When Avram Avinu were doing this project of Chesed together, when they were doing this project of Bali Tshuva together, the movement of Bali Tshuva, they did everything as a two-part series. Everything they were doing was so unified. Everything they did was together. So therefore he says, and he continues, he quotes the Ibn Ezra, that sometimes, why does the Pasuk say, v'liv kosa? Why does it say that Avram Avinu came, lispo desar v'liv kosa? It should say, v'liv kos aleha. He went to cry on her. Why does it say, v'liv kosa, to cry Sarah? What does that mean? You're crying Sarah? So he says, sometimes something becomes such a part of me that when I cry about it, it's me. I'm crying for me. I'm not crying on her. That would make it sound like it's something separate from himself. He says, "Veliv kosa," he's crying her, which is he was a piece of her. And therefore, it reminds me, the Pasuk writes in Tehillim, David HaMelech writes, "Ani tefila." David HaMelech was so into davening, he became tefila. He became unified with tefila, and therefore he calls himself "Ani tefila." I am a prayer. That's what he became. So to Avraham Avinu and Sarah became so close to each other. So if you look at the last three lines, "V'yeshul farish," therefore he wants to explain the mehai time aksiv b'sedem hupaf. That's why over here it says it in the reversed order than we normally have it. L'spol desar v'livko sa. Why did he first give the hespedim and only then cry for her? What does it mean? Ki Avram lo pasak mi bechyo meshech kol shari mechaya. Avram Avinu never stopped mourning. He never stopped crying. That immediate shock that he had when she died never went away. Why? Because he felt it in every single aspect of his life from then on. Because till now he used to have Sarah to go and do all the missions with him. And from then on he was alone. It wasn't just that he was missing someone who used to be, you know, close to him, who he loved very much. He was missing a part of himself. And therefore, the Bechiah came after the Hespedim because the Bechiah was much longer, lasted much longer, lasted for the rest of his life, and it wasn't something that only stopped after the 3 days. So the Rav Soloveitchik was pointing out that sometimes a person suffers a loss, or sometimes in the positive light, sometimes a person has a marriage where they actually feel that the other half of that marriage is not just another party that's living with them. It's something that unifies the two of them. It's something where they become one so much to the point that it could say, v'liv kosa, that he cries not v'liv kos aleha, v'liv kosa, he cries a piece of himself because that's what he feels he's missing. So we're just going to repeat again. Next week there will not be a shiur, as a lot of people have prior commitments because of Wednesday night of Thanksgiving. And we'll continue the following week.